Today on Real Radio.
Marriage is a doctrine of theology by God. God is the inventor of marriage. And there is no such thing as any other definition of marriage other than what God has said it is, no matter how you feel about it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack presents a response to believers on how to view and how to deal with the recent decision handed down by the Supreme Court of the United States. The ruling for the so-called gay marriage is truly a watershed moment for our nation, which for the most part up until now has enjoyed the grace of our Creator. But what happens now? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a message called, How Then Shall We Live?
Today I'm not going to preach and I'm not going to teach. I'm going to talk to you today, and I mean that sincerely. I will be tempted wearing a robe like this to preach and to teach, but I want you to understand something today. You sit here today with either a biblical worldview or an emotional worldview. The beautiful thing about this morning, you guys, the first Sunday in our new America, history has been changed in the United States forever. And many are celebrating the change today. And they have since early East Coast time on Friday. But they celebrate what they do not yet know. And so I want you to hear today and leave today educated more, but just beginning for you, I think, today to study and to learn. Bringing your thoughts as Christians, I'm addressing not only this church today, but our media that goes out from this church. We know that tens of thousands of people view our media services today and on Wednesday. Many are gathered across the United States, even Indian reservations that join us on Sunday mornings now in the face of on the face of a computer screen to have their church services with us. So I speak beyond the sanctuary today. And so I want to be very careful about that. I'm going to ask you the question. It was something that the great Francis Schaeffer penned in his presentation. I encourage you to look at that later, Francis Schaeffer. How then shall we live? That's the question in light of what's going on. How then shall we live? The answer is, for some of us, it's exactly how we have been living. Nothing changes for us. The great news about today, my friends, is many people are changing their minds this weekend, and they've set out a new course to rethink things. Let me be very clear. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, Peter says to us, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" That's what Francis Schaeffer used that verse to make that great challenge in his series, How Then Shall We Live? Well, God's decision on the U.S. Supreme Court of the United States has never changed. The United States Supreme Court this Friday made a decision about God, but God's decision on the Supreme Court has always been the same. He has weighed the Supreme Court of the United States of America, and he has found it to be lacking, wanting. He has found them to be exactly as his word has always said. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 1, God says, "Woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees. Woe unto those who write misfortune, which they have prescribed." And so I want you to be mature enough today as an audience, both here in person and on internet TV, to not let your emotions govern the way that you think. For surely you will wind up in peril if you let your emotions dictate your logic and reason. It is required of every Christian to submit his thinking, her thinking, under the rule of God. Our opinions are to be formed not by our culture, not by what we'd like, and not by the sexual preference of a child or grandchild or of a friend or coworker, but by God himself. This great moment, this is a great moment in our America today for this reason. It now leaps off the page of theory for the Christian and comes down to true actions. Just because you say you're a Christian nation doesn't make you a Christian nation. Just because you say you're a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you attend this church doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven. Do you do the will of God? Regardless of your emotions, God will not hear your emotions or mine. I have emotions too. I have feelings. Shortly after the decision on Friday morning, I was very sad. My sadness then went to anger. My anger then went to disappointment. I stayed there for the bulk of my emotions. And then I went out in the backyard of my house. And just like Jonah, I was under the shade of my big sycamore tree. And I was disappointed. Disappointed in the president, disappointed in my Congress. They have the authority to stop the U.S. Supreme Court, by the way. Exactly. Of course, disappointed in the Supreme Court. Of course, I knew how they were all going to vote, but Justice Kennedy, it came down to one man who will stand before God. Pray for him, pray for his salvation. He is a soul that Jesus loves. I was disappointed, and I sat under the shade, or I stood under the shade of my sycamore tree, and God strongly said to my heart, "Why are you disappointed, Jack?" And I said, "Lord, look around. Look what's happened." And he spoke to my heart, and he said, "You can only be disappointed when you put your faith in man. All those who hope in me shall never be disappointed." And I had to stop and cover my mouth and say, "Lord, thou alone art God." And he put everything in perspective for me. The men and women who sit in Washington, D.C. in that little room, for if you've ever been to the Supreme Court, it's a little room, with Moses directly over their head and the Ten Commandments, God reminded me, behind that robe, there are just men and women, Jack. They're lost sinners needing the saving grace of God. That doesn't write off or excuse their decisions. They'll stand before God for their decisions. But they're sinners too. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Does that offend you? You need to get over that. Is anyone exempt from not being judged by God? Does that offend you? You need to be getting over that. God is God. He is judge. And I don't even pretend to stand here and imitate an earthly judge. Why would I stoop to that level? No offense, Judge Peterson. There are godly people on the bench, and I thank God for that. But I stand here today wearing the black robe, as I said, being a representative of God. It's not what I say, it's what his word says. And Proverbs 29 verse 2 says that when the godly are in authority, the people rejoice. When the godly are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked are in power, they groan. There are people groaning today because they know the truth. There are people celebrating today and they don't know what's coming. They will later groan. This is not a victory. Make it very clear, my dear friends, in all of your discussions with friends and family, listen carefully. No human court on earth has the power to usurp authority over God. Not a one. It's impossible. They can pretend, they can play like it, but God will have the last word. And so I stand here this morning, of course, saddened for my nation, but with an incredible confidence in my Bible and in my God, because here's the awesome thing. Jesus said exactly this. And I hate to rub it in this morning, but in the voice of a prophet, I would say, allow me this today. You cannot disagree with me. You may have in the past, but in 2007 and 2008, I took a position and joined with the architects of the Proposition 8 movement to define marriage between a man and a woman based upon Genesis chapter 1. That was my argument. I said that on CBS News and I said that on Fox News, ladies and gentlemen. I was accused as being a homophobe. I didn't at that time know what that meant, but I knew what the word homo meant, and I knew what the word phobe or phobia, those are Greek words. I recognized what that meant, was quickly able to put it together and respond to the person on CBS News, "No, I am not. I am not afraid of homosexuals, just like I'm not an Islamophobe. I'm not afraid of Muslims. I'm not even a Satan phobe. Jesus knows how to handle Satan just fine. What I'm saying is, from 2007 to 2008, I was left letters, I was emailed, I was called, I was spoken to, saying how unloving I was and how mean I was and how ugly I was to define marriage between a man and a woman. Listen to this logic. And I'm never coming back to this church again because you're terrible. All I did was, listen, I may be terrible. You'll have to ask my wife regarding the details of that. But you guys, listen, I was only reciting what God had already said. Your argument still today is not with me, it's with God. And when people stormed out of this church never to come back again, I must confess, I'm sorry. It gives me a great deal of pleasure today to announce that when you are biblical, you'll always be right. And I got to tell you, I was right then and I'm right now. And the reason why is because I put my logic behind the Bible. You might say, what an arrogant statement. You didn't hear me. I said, listen, I chose to take my emotions because everyone wants to be liked by people. I took that temptation and I put it away and did what the Bible said, and thus I was hated. Okay, but I don't hate anybody. And while my opponents are focusing their vengeance against me, little do you know, I'm trying to fight for you against the very ones who, if they take power, will kill you. If Sharia law gets enacted in California or the United States, believe you me, they're under orders to kill the homosexual community. I'm here to love them. And just because you speak the truth doesn't mean you don't love them. Please understand that today. And so I come to you in the voice of a prophet, but it's not any doing of my own. After all the efforts and after all of the arguments, after the last 5,000 years of human history, after all of the biology that we had to take and all of the sociology, and after all of the sciences have been studied and after all the votes have been counted, we come back this morning exactly where we started. Marriage is a doctrine of theology by God. God is the inventor of marriage. And there is no such thing as any other definition of marriage other than what God has said it is, no matter how you feel about it. Your recreation of marriage is your encroachment upon sacred ground that God alone holds to be his prerogative. You can't change it. You support gay marriage, you're going against God. Doesn't make me happy to say it, but I am being obedient. Marriage does not fall into any one of those historical or scientific categories that I mentioned a moment ago. Marriage stands alone because it proceeded from God. It's been created by him. Listen, marriage is like nature. The air that we breathe, nobody can legislate against it. God gives us these hints, my friends. Listen, he gives us these insights. It's like the clouds passing over this morning. There's no bit of law that can change it. God is announcing to us, do what you wish, for every man will do what is right in their own eyes when I've been rejected. But you'll never change marriage. I did a marriage yesterday evening, last night in Santa Monica. And it was officially the last marriage that I'll do. This church will not be conducting marriages any longer. We joined, by the way. We made the decision before the state of Alabama did. Alabama no longer will be conducting weddings and marriage ceremonies in that state. Texas is soon to follow. And why is that? Why is that? Is because we stand on ground now that is so cracked and so shaky, the attorneys, the legal minds don't know which way this is going to go. Who's going to be labeled a hater or not? How should it go? God called me, God called you, just like he called the Apostle Paul, to preach the word. And we don't have to do any of these other things. So friends, I want to give you a little bit of talking points and background today. How then shall we live? Number one, what has God said about marriage? And I received a text last night from one of our state representatives up in Sacramento. And she said, if you're going to address it tomorrow, Pastor Jack, I think he should call it holy matrimony, because that's what God would view it as, marriage, holy matrimony. Think of that. It is holy to God. It's one of his three sacred institutions. Please write these down. No matter what your position might be this morning, please write these down, all of it. What is God's view? What is God's position on marriage? Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over everything that creeps upon the earth. So God created man, that is mankind, in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, for a reason, be fruitful and multiply. God created mankind, male and female, so that they could have sex and produce children. That's God's plan. So that they can be married and produce children. God called Eve Adam's wife. Isn't that amazing? And after I've ordered you to come together and I bring her to you, you both of you physically come together and produce kids. That's God's plan. By the way, that's how you got here today. Somebody on CNN, I won't say who it was on CNN, said, if I had it my way, the entire nation would be gay. Well, listen, that's actually not going to happen. And you need to thank God that's not going to happen, because if the entire nation would be gay, then you'd only last for one generation. And you'd have a life expectancy of 47 years. That's not very good. So I don't think he really meant that. You can't have a family, you can't have a culture, you can't have a world without obeying God. And it's very simple to obey God. In Genesis 2:24, the Bible says, therefore, a man shall leave his father, that's a male, and a mother, that's a female, and be joined, that sex, to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's awesome. Body, soul, and spirit, they come together. One of the great things about my God, you guys, one of the great things about my God is my God's the one who invented all that is good, he says. And in fact, as a married couple, if you're a Christian this morning, if you're a married couple, the Bible says that you should only stop having sex when both of you agree to stop for fasting and prayer, but then come together quickly lest Satan tempt you. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay, then. I say that, but someone might say, well, sex is great. Sex is great, created by God within his context. Listen, these are your talking points on your campus or at your tea club or whatever you're going to be doing. God created sex. Question, is biblically based sex healthy? It's not only healthy, it's healthy body, soul, and spirit. Who says? The American Medical Association says. I applaud your zeal, but we already know that God said that. The American Medical Association says that. The American Psychiatric Assembly says that. Of course, we know that. But not all sex is sanctioned by God. You were warned this morning to keep your children away from the service today. I want to be careful, though. Homosexual sex is absolutely destructive to the human body. If you don't believe me, if you're mature enough, read the medical reports. If God created that, then why is it so dangerous and deadly? Because he didn't. In fact, the Bible says in Genesis 18, verse 16, regarding the event of Lot being in Sodom and Gomorrah and two angels being dispatched by God to rescue Lot and his family, it says the men, that is the angels, rose from there and looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. Verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? And the Lord said, listen to this, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it. It goes on, chapter 19, verse 3. But Lot insisted, so, that is insisted on lingering, so, at last they went home with him, and Lot prepared a feast for them, complete with fresh bread made without yeast, and they ate. But before they retired for the night, that is the angels that were with him. It's amazing because they're angelic angels, but they look like humans. Isn't that amazing? All the men of Sodom, old and young, came from all over the city and surrounded the house. And they shouted to Lot, "Where are the men who came to spend the night with you? Bring them out to us so we may have sex with them." "Look, I have two virgin daughters," says Lot. What a nut. "Let me bring them out to you, and you can do with them as you wish. But please leave these men alone, for they are my guests and under my protection." "Stand back," they shouted. "This fellow came to town as an outsider, and now he is acting like our judge. We'll treat you far worse than those other men." And they lunged toward Lot to break down the door. Verse 10, but the two angels reached out, pulled Lot into the house, and bolted the door. And then they blinded, that is the angels, blinded all the men, young and old, who were at the door of the house. So they gave up trying to get inside. Genesis 19:12 goes on to say, meanwhile, the angels questioned Lot, "Do you have any other relatives here in the city?" And they said, get them out of this place, your sons-in-law, your daughters, and anyone else. Verse 13, for we are about to destroy this city completely. The outcry against this place is so great that it has reached the Lord, and it has sent us to destroy it. Verse 24, then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. Leviticus 18. Listen, I'm going somewhere with this. Leviticus 18:20. Do not defile yourselves by sexual intercourse with your neighbor's wife. Anybody think that's wrong? That you leave your wife and go have sex with your neighbor's wife? Yes. Yes. Do you think it's wrong? Oh, yes. Some few of you think it's wrong? Yes. I got news for you. God says it's wrong. Do not permit any of your children to be offered as a sacrifice to Moloch. They would put their children, babies, infants born on the burning sacrifice of this god. Anybody think that's wrong?
Yes.
For you must not bring shame on the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not practice homosexuality, having sex with another man as with a woman. It is detestable. Is that wrong, ladies and gentlemen, according to God?
Yes.
Do you feel your emotions right now? You feel them? Yeah. You're being forced to politically correct your thinking for a moment. You're having to choose right now, and this is the thrust of this morning's message. This is the very point that I want to land at later. You are being forced right now, and you can feel it, to side with political correctness and the pressure of people, the pressure of a family member who says things to you like, if you're loving, you'll have to accept me.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a presentation called How Then Shall We Live? It's a response directed toward believers on how to view and deal with the recent decision handed down by the Supreme Court of the United States. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And as we approach the holiday that's essentially the birthday of our great nation, Pastor Jack has selected a terrific book that goes hand in hand with Independence Day. It's called Faith of Our Founding Fathers by Tim LaHaye. Faith of Our Founding Fathers examines the facts that have created debate for years among educators, scholars, and historians. It studies the intimate papers, the diaries, and letters of the Founding Fathers themselves, and helps to solve the mystery of our nation's past so that we can best guide her future. Faith of Our Founding Fathers by Tim LaHaye. It's Pastor Jack's hand-selected book of the month for Real Radio listeners. It's available for purchase at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.